Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Fitting that the week before the celebration of the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, we have as the assigned gospel reading a text concerning the authority to forgive sins. Christians in the time of the Reformation did not have really an issue with the church's ability to forgive sins. And while some of those Christians may have smelled something fishy going on in the Roman Catholic Church, they did not have the means to do anything about it. Nor did they seem to have much desire. They were eager to go about their own day-to-day lives and didn't do much regarding it. So what was an issue in that time, however, was an abuse. An abuse with which the church was giving out the forgiveness of sins. Even before indulgences came into existence around the mid of the turn of the millenniums, Christians were required to do penance for the sins that they had committed and then confessed. This practice came as a result of St. Jerome's translation of the Bible into Latin, the Vulgate. In that translation, Jerome used a word in the Greek for repentance. He translated into Latin as do penance. Christians came to learn that to mean that there was certain works for them to do before they could be declared forgiven of all their sins. Rosaries, the Lord's Prayer, prayers to Mary became the common acts prescribed to the Christians in their earnest desire for forgiveness, for mercy, for peace. In addition to that, the church had come to further promote the idea that the sins committed in this life, following after one's baptism, were not forgiven in baptism itself. And so that kept the door wide open for continued acts of penance in the life of the Christian, which then added to them the prayer to the veneration of Christian artifacts, and then the selling of indulgences as well. Money had become greatly and intricately involved in the distribution of the forgiveness of sins within the church. These monies would be used to pay off loans owed by archbishops and then to fund the building of the great basilica in Rome itself. And initially, Martin Luther had no problem with the practices of indulgences. Being raised in the church, this was common for him. But he began to see that the poor, amongst them in Germany and the like, were neglected. For the sake of this relic worship and indulgence buying, that struck a chord with him. And so indulgences and penance in general came under his scrutiny when Luther was made aware of this translation error by Jerome, using the word do penance instead of repentance. Now, this truly did impact Martin Luther so much that it led off the 95 theses he posted in Wittenberg in 1517. The first of those 95 stating this: when our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, said, repent, he called for the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. So when the words do penance appear nowhere in the scriptures, that changes everything. Yes, the church has the authority to forgive sins, but the church does not have the authority to abuse that giving of forgiveness. Nor does the church have the right to profit financially from the forgiveness of sins. And so that forgiveness in Jesus Christ, it is at the very heart of the gospel itself. And so charging people for forgiveness through penance, through indulgences and relics, shrouds the gospel from God's people. More than that, such improper use of the forgiveness of sins insults God and mocks His overwhelming grace. Our Lord Jesus Himself should be studied closely for how the forgiveness of sins should be meted out. Today's gospel reading, Jesus had come into His own city, Capernaum, where a paralyzed man had been brought forth to Him. Now, seeing the root cause of the man's infirmity being sin, which is at the very root of all illness and all injury, Jesus said to him, "Take heart, my son. Your sins are forgiven." He bypasses the injury, the infirmity, and goes right to the soul. Certain scribes there were thinking to themselves that making such a statement was blasphemous. That is, inappropriate, unfair for Jesus to make such a claim that this man's sins were forgiven. How could he know? They firmly believed that forgiveness of sins was something that only God could do, only God could declare. They certainly did not believe that that man, Jesus, standing before them, was God in the flesh. Yet Jesus further solidifies His claim, His power and His authority to do the forgiveness of sins. And so He does not back down from the scribes at all. Rather, He calls them on their thoughts. He says to them, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed, and go home." As God, Jesus does have the power to forgive sins. And He does so freely. Jesus never once sought to make any type of money off of His power as God, let alone off of the forgiveness of sins which He had come to win. Jesus was very gracious in the many miracles that He performed. And He was always ready and willing to announce God's grace to His dear people. In fact, Jesus knew that the healing of the body that the people so desperately needed were not something that they could buy or find a remedy to themselves. They had no earthly way to bring this healing to themselves. The same was true, especially for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus knew that there was nothing that sinful man could do to get that forgiveness as well. And God certainly did not want any money. Rather, He has always and only wanted man's soul devotion, his trust, his faith, his willingness to listen and to follow after God's word. And so He sent Jesus. Jesus' perfect, pristine life, lived for us and offered on the cross for us, was meant to create and sustain that faith God so eagerly desires. Knowing what Jesus endured for our salvation would lead us then to appreciate all that Jesus had done for us, for our forgiveness, for our salvation, what it cost Him. And with that appreciation, true thanksgiving in the heart, we would gladly and willingly then put our faith and our trust in God alone, as His Spirit has indeed enabled us to do in the waters of baptism through the word of the gospel itself. That was God's intent. For you and for me, it has achieved its purpose. You have realized your sinfulness. You know that you cannot free yourself from your own sinful condition. You believe that you have sinned against God in thought, in word, and in deed. You understand your need for Jesus, for the Lord Himself, to do salvation for you, to do it to you, to give it freely. Since mankind has sinned against God and against Him only, God alone has the right to do with that sin as He sees fit, to either hold them accountable for it or to let it go. He could demand full payment for each and every one of us, for every one of our sins. or he could cancel our huge debt on account of someone else who had paid that price in full on our behalf. And there again is Jesus. By paying that ultimate price for our sin, our Heavenly Father then freely gives to us Christ's forgiveness. Jesus has paid that price in full, tetelestai. It is finished. The sinner, you and me, have nothing left to pay. And for the church ever to say otherwise is a travesty. The church has been given the authority to forgive sins by Jesus himself. And it comes through the words that our Lord spoke first to Peter, and all then to the 12, I will give to you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The keys to the kingdom. Likewise, to those same disciples, following his own resurrection, Jesus reemphasizes that authority to forgive. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. The Lord Jesus has given his church the very power to forgive sins and to withhold that forgiveness. The church does so not by its own power, but in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church has no right to make any money off of the forgiveness of sins, nor should the church ever withhold that forgiveness because the believer has not done enough to earn it. Forgiveness of sins was won at a great price so that it could be given as a free gift. Faith alone in Jesus Christ gives the forgiveness of sins, which comes graciously in word and in sacraments. Our church sign out front often shows these words, giving forgiveness to sinners since 1855. On occasion, a complaint will come in about that message, saying that God alone forgives sins. Our church has no right to make such a claim. By ourselves, I would agree. However, the Lord Jesus himself gave his church that very authority to forgive sins for the intent purpose of giving comfort and giving healing to hearts burdened by sin. Jesus alone has won your forgiveness. Jesus, as God, has the authority to declare your sins forgiven. And he does so very directly in his word spoken to you. Of this you can be sure. I forgive you all your sins. In the name of Jesus our Lord. Thanks be to God forever and ever. Amen. The peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.